and amen. All right, I always like to ask you, did you get all your shopping done? Too bad if you didn't. Too late now, right? You know what I want to do? I wanted to see, let's just try for a moment to try and just forget about all this earthly stuff that consumes us. There's a lot of good stuff, but what I wanted to do is try and just focus in a different way to try and imagine Christmas from heaven's perspective. To just kind of imagine what it would be like to spend Christmas right in the presence of God. And I would challenge to say that whatever you think of, I guarantee it's even better than that. Some of us this year and all of us, at some time or another, we have somebody that goes on to be with the Lord and they pass on. And one of the things that's often said is you hear the person say, well, she's looking down on us, or he's looking down on us now, you know. And I always kind of wanted to ask the question, but I never did, of like, well, are you sure? Are you sure they're looking down? Are you sure they're not looking around? Because when you read the Bible, and this is just something that has really been hitting me over the last 6 months, I've talked about it a couple times on Sunday, even a little bit the last couple Sundays, is just, you know, this fact that is it possible, when you really read in the Bible what heaven is like, do you think it's possible that what's going on up there is perhaps more exciting than this, or what's going on here? I know it's a stretch, and this is pretty exciting, but right here in Luke, he gives us a glimpse of what it was like when these shepherds just saw one angel, got a glimpse of one angel from heaven. And it says, as they were out in the fields, I think Erlene read this, and keeping watch over their flock by night, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. They were freaked out, which I can understand. I mean, imagine they're just watching their sheep. I mean, that's like us maybe mowing your lawn or something. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. I mean, you're used to just earthly things all the time, and then out of nowhere, this divine thing happens. I mean, that would be the moment of your life. And this angel was probably part of that huge myriad that John talked about when he got a glimpse into heaven. The Apostle John, he wrote it down in Revelation, and he just talked about what it looked like in heaven. He said there was this throne, and there was lightning and thunder, and there was pillars of fire, and there's this being on the throne that's glowing like with rubies and diamonds, and there's these angels just bowing and screaming out his holiness. Do you think it's possible when someone's in heaven, they're not looking down, but maybe they're looking at that? I mean, you know, they're not looking at you. I mean, we got all that going on up there. Do you really think they're looking down at you, staring at your laptop? You know, or, I mean, that's exciting, don't get me wrong, you know. But, I mean, do you think they're looking down at you and saying, oh, look, Greg's watching TV. You know, oh, there he is, driving. I mean, okay, it's exciting, maybe, but consider the possibility that maybe something up there is going on that's a lot better and a lot more exciting than that's going on here. And maybe it just comes down to three words. Maybe we need to just get over ourselves, life isn't that exciting, and there are greater things than this little thing right here. Christmas is a great time. Like I said before, I mean, people are actually talking and singing about Jesus more, and it's also a time, I think, where we can kind of belittle him more than ever. Our picture of God is so small. Do we really believe we're the center of the universe and they're looking down at me? I mean, what could be more exciting than me here? But to think maybe this life isn't about me. Maybe there's an existence beyond here and what I see here. And maybe there's something more exciting than, you know, carpet and lights and even a Christmas tree. Maybe there's actually something going on in heaven right now that's so much more amazing than anything at all we could ever experience here. And that this Christmas story is not just about us, but it's a bigger picture. And somehow we're able to jump into and experience. And I know it's nuts when you think about it, how amazing the pictures that are word pictures that are given for us in the Bible about heaven, and when we could maybe just consider Christmas from that perspective. See, some of you, when you think of Christmas, you think of, you know, Jesus, the cute little baby in the manger, but then you also recognize that he grew up and he became this great teacher, like Gandhi. And that's true. That's true. But there's a lot more. And then some of you say, well, yeah, of course. Well, he was the Son of God, and he came to earth, and he went to the cross after he grew up, and he died for our sins. He actually paid the penalty in my place that I deserved, and he's the Savior of the world. He's also my best friend. I can talk to him, and absolutely, that's true. But there's even more to it than that. And you say, well, listen, I get it. I know what you're saying. He's a holy God, just like the prophet Isaiah pinned down in chapter 6. He got a glimpse, too, of the throne room, and he saw these angels with six wings, and two they covered their face, two they covered their feet, and the whole place was just shaking, and there was smoke and all of this stuff, and I know it's a much bigger picture of God. I mean, even the apostle Paul said, listen, God dwells in unapproachable light. It's like as if human beings can't even approach him in these bodies. I mean, we couldn't even withstand his presence is really the implication there. And then you think of the fact that he came down to earth, and I say, yeah, man, that's absolutely true. But there's so much more even than that. He's even more than that. The crazy thing is, what it really comes down to is whatever your view of God is tonight, whatever comes to your mind, whatever comes to your mind when you hear the name Jesus, no matter how holy, no matter how grand or awesome you have in your head, he's greater than that. He's more than that. No matter how high your view of God is, it's still not high enough, according to the Bible. No matter how high your view is, he's still higher. I know that because there's people in the Bible that had seriously high views of God. And yet, when they actually got a glimpse of him, they were shocked. I love what Job said. I like what it says about Job. That's wild. It says he was a righteous man, and then it makes this comment that he was the most righteous man on the earth. I mean, could you imagine getting that title? I mean, there's a lot of titles, you know, Academy Awards and trophies and all. But if the Bible actually said he was the most righteous person on the earth, Greg was the most righteous, imagine that. That's wild. It said that about Job. So if anybody had a high view of Job, it must have been him, and he went through all this stuff. You know, he lost his wife, he lost his family, he lost everything, and he's still willing to praise God. And you know what? That's where we get the song, Blessed Be Your Name, because that's what he said, no matter what happened, because he knew how great God was. Yet at the end of the book, In Job 42, God gives him a glimpse of himself, and Job says this, 42:5. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. For I despise myself and repent and dust ashes. Job goes, I thought I knew how great you were. I heard of you. I heard all these verses. I heard what the prophets had to say about you. And I understood you were this great God, and I totally revered you and everything else. He goes, but even though he was this most righteous man, but then he says, I actually see you. Man, I just fell in the dust and the ashes. I despise myself for the thoughts of you because they weren't high enough. Job was shocked when he actually saw the awesomeness of God. I mean, you that hear me preach a lot, you know, my favorite thing in one of my favorite chapters is just when Isaiah got a glimpse of him. And he was like, it's a prophet that heard things about the future. He pinned them down hundreds of years before they happened. They thought for sure they were pinned after the fact until the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in the 1940s. And it was obvious they were written before. But yet when he saw God, he was like, whoa. It's basically it, just whoa. In Hebrew, it was Ive. He knew he was just like done. In the New Testament, we have the man John, right? Apostle John. When you hear about him in the Bible, he's referred to as the apostle that Jesus loved, the one whom Jesus loved. Nobody had a more intimate relationship than John did, the way he's described in the gospel. Yet in Revelation 1:17, when he actually gets to have a glimpse of Jesus in his glorified state on the throne, it says he passes out. He wrote it like this: when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I was dead. It basically just blacked out. And these are people with high views of God. Job had a high view of God. The Apostle John had a tremendous high view of God. He understood, man, this God, this is God, this Jesus, and he sees him, and he blacks out. He's like, I had a high view, Job said, of God. But you know what? When I saw him, whatever high view of God you have tonight, he's greater than that. He's higher than that. When see if space, I don't think the first thing on your mind, if you actually, when that day comes and you see him and you stand before him, I don't think your first thought is going to be, oh, let me look down at earth and see what Greg's doing. No, there's going to just be this, whoa, no way. Just like this awe of this amazing being. And so this Christmas, let's not belittle him. Let's not just remember a baby in a manger, but that the baby in the manger is God and all those angels. And the beautiful thing is he actually cared to come down. Psalm 145:3 says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. So if you think you know how great God is, you're wrong, because it says no one can fathom it. Isaiah 55, a lot of us have heard this, it's quoted quite often, but think about it. This is where Isaiah says that the Lord told him this, and that the Lord said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are as far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts from yours. You know how we talk about the galaxies and their millions of light years apart, and I'm thinking, you know, we hear that, you know, like, okay, millions of light years. And then I'm like, well, let me just look it up, you know. So I double checked it again. It's 186,000 miles a second, speed of light. It's crazy. 186 miles a second, and you can travel that for millions of years, and you haven't even come close to exhausting the galaxies. And that's what God says, how far above his thoughts are than ours. So I think I have an idea of his greatness. According to that, I have no clue how huge he is. We use words to describe him, and that's okay. But he says, just know that my greatness is beyond that. And so when we think about Christmas, I want you to think about that God in heaven who is so far beyond us. He's greater than anything you can imagine. And he came down into human form for you. I know lots of times we get the picture of the manger and we're thinking, you know, oh, look at the farm. And I mean, we have a manger scene out there, and you know, that's cool. And oh, you know, the poor infant is sitting in a feeding trough, and you know, he's got no crib. And you try to think what your response would be if he humbled himself and he became an infant again and he was right here on this platform. What would your response be? What would your response be to that? That God I've been describing, he's beyond that. And now he comes down to earth in this scene. There's an old Christmas song. It's really, I mean, I love Christmas music, and I thank God for Christmas music because it's the only time of the year there's not an argument with my daughter what we're going to listen to on the radio. Praise God. You know? They still like Christmas music. But one of my favorites, probably my favorite, is O Holy Night. And one of the phrases I love in the song is, fall on your knees. Now that's the proper response, isn't it? It's not, oh, how cute, oh, look at that little baby. It's fall on your knees. Man, this is a divine night. This isn't just another normal, earthly, just another child is born evening. This is a holy night. It's sacred because the stuff we're talking about in heaven, that's much bigger than what's on earth. It's coming together like that whole world is actually coming down to earth in human form. This is a holy night, a divine night that we as human beings on the earth get to encounter God in a real way. It's like, no way, Almighty God, whose ways are way beyond anything I can even think, he's actually going to come to earth, and I'm going to fall flat on my face, man. I mean, this baby, that's for me. That God did that for me, and that's Christmas. So I want to do something just a little different tonight. We're still going to have our candle lighting hymn that we always do at the end, but instead of singing Silent Night, I want us to sing Holy Night. And I want to sing it with just kind of a fresh perspective. So I just ask Joel if he wouldn't mind coming up. And I just want you to think about that baby Jesus. And you know, I don't want you to get all caught up in the scene. Well, you know, were there cows there? Were there horses there? Well, I don't know. Wasn't there a dog? I mean, who cares, okay? Let's just concentrate on that night when heaven touched earth. And when the supernatural came down to this planet to show us that he cared. Even as beyond us he is, he came to this planet to show us that he cared. He was in that stable. Whatever picture, whatever response would be, just think about that and meditate about the awesomeness of what that means. I'm going to ask the ushers if they wouldn't come up, and I guess we usually stand for this, right? And we'll get all our candles lit And we'll sing through this a couple times. We have the words right up here on the screen.